Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos, daf Lamed Beis. We're in Lamed Aleph. We're towards the bottom of Lamed Aleph, Amed Aleph. The Gemara talked about Din V'cheshbon, what to expect after 120 years. So, on this earth for 120 years, and then you go up to Shemaim, so what's the questioning, what's the line of questioning going to be? So that's what we saw yesterday. The Gemara followed up immediately after going through the six Adam of the Mishnayos, based on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, Vayam, Munasi Techa, Chos, Yeshua, Chachmas, Vidas. So we mentioned at the very end of the shir yesterday, the forward by the Gaon. The Gaon says that these two Gemaras go actually hand in hand with one another, meaning that there are six Adam of Mishnayos, and if you count the numbers carefully, you'll find that there are six questions that you go up to Shemaim with. And the Gaon famously says that the six questions are not to be taken as literal as we find it on the Gemara, on the daf of the Gemara, meaning, but rather the Gemara's line of questioning is going to be is that we go through the sixth Adarm of the Mishnayos, and then you go through each one of the questions and you plug in how each one of the questions actually relate to one of the six volumes of the Mishnayos. And then the Gemara goes off on a discussion of how important it is to have Yiras Hashem, Yiras Shamayim. Meaning to learn is okay, more than okay, meaning it's necessary, obviously. But on top of that, you need Yiras Shamayim. So, and without Yiras Shamayim, so all the learning really is not of worth. Okay? I know that sounds very strong, it sounds very powerful, but that's exactly how the Gemara frames it. It's we're three lines from the bottom of the Amud, we're picking it up pretty much where I left off yesterday. Mashallah Adam Sharm Lashlucho. Helali Korchitin La Aliyah. It's like saying to your friend, you know, could you take some wheat up to my second floor and stir over there, halach ve'alalo, and so he did exactly as instructed to do. And did you put in the preservatives in order to make sure that the wheat stays fresh? He says, no, I didn't do that. And he says, good, it would have been better off had you not bring it up at all, meaning without the preservatives, so wheat's not going to last. And here too, the nimshal is that without Yiras Shamayim, without the fear of heaven, so all the learning that you learn is really for naught. Tanu de Rabbi. Any guesses? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shmuel. Okay. Ma'ariv Adam. Your guess is better than mine. Ma'ariv Adam kav chomton bikur shel tvua ve'eino choshesh. The Gemara takes a brief moment to talk a little bit about the halachas of trade and commerce. So when you sell wheat, so obviously everything has to be done fair, weights and measures, right? Kedasa kedin. You have to, right? Like the Gemara said a couple lines ago, nasata v'nasata be'emuna, right? You have to do everything faithfully. So when you sell a pound of wheat, so it's got to be a pound of wheat. Can't be more, can't be less. It's got to be a pound of wheat. So, but when you sell a pound of wheat, so what you could do is you could put preservatives in it. The preservatives can count towards the pound, and that's fine. Meaning there's a fair expectation between buyer and seller that the wheat is only going to be good if it has its preservatives in it. And so therefore you're allowed to put in the chotmon, weigh that towards the pound, and that's totally acceptable, that's fine. By the way, it sounds like from the Gemara, preservatives are okay. Right? I know, we're natural people. Right. Natural people don't like preservatives, but Amar Rava bar Rav Huna kol adam sheish lo Torah ve'ein bo Yiras Shamayim. The Gemara stays on this course of discussion. Somebody has Torah but does not have Yiras Shamayim. Dom le gizbar shemasul lo b'maftechos apnimis u'maftechos chitzonos lo masul lo. So it's like a treasurer where there are two doors to get into the treasure. You have the keys to the inner door, but you don't have the keys to the outer door. And Baha'i aisle, so how are you going to get in? Meaning good. So once you get into the outer door, so you're fine, but how are you going to get in? So in other words, again, it's the same idea. It's a prerequisite. Yiras Shamayim is a prerequisite to learning. Machos Rav Yana Chaval Delesle Darta, the Vitira Ledarta of it, and Rav Yana, the way he says it is Chaval. Woe to the person who doesn't have a courtyard, but meanwhile he has a gateway to the courtyard. Meaning you're kind of missing the most basic element of, yeah, you have the gate, but you don't have the actual courtyard itself. Again, it's the same basic idea that you have the learning, but you don't have the Yiras Shamayim. And so without the Yiras Shamayim, you really don't have anything. I'm Rav Yehuda Labar Kosh Baruch Hu Salama Ela Kadei Shirum Lafanav. And then Rav Yehuda says it very strongly that the whole purpose of creation is only kidei shiyiru milfanav, only so that you have fear of Shamayim. Shenemar v'lokim asa shiyiru milfanav. The Pasuk in Kohelet says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created so that there be Yira. Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yasri, Chalavaz, Rabbi Yaakov, Va'acha. The Gemara tells a story related where you have Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Lazar. They were sitting down and along passes Rabbi Yaakov, Va'acha. Amalei Chalachavrei, Neiko, Mikamei, Degavar, Dachel, Chatainu. So let's stand, meaning let's give him kavod, let's give him respect, let's stand in front of him, because he's Dachil Chatain. He fears sin. He's got Yerushalayim. What do you mean? Let's stand in front of him because he's a Baruyan, he's a Talmud Chacham. Good. Two reasons to stand for this one individual. So he says to him, come on, what's better? Meaning, is him being a Yerushalayim better, or is him being a Talmud Chacham better? So based on the Gemara, now we've spent for the last 5 minutes learning, so now you know the answer. Meaning, prior to the last 5 minutes of Gemara, you might have thought being a Talmud Chacham is better. And the Gemara says, no, it's being a Yerushalayim. Tistayim de Rav Elazar u'damar de'gavar dachil chatainu, de'amar Rav Yochanan mishum Rav Elazar. Now, the Gemara did not tell us who said which one, but now the Gemara is saying, based on the upcoming statement we're going to see, it's Rav Elazar who gives more prominence to Yerushalayim. Ein lo l'Kadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo ela Yerushalayim bavad. Kadosh Baruch Hu has only in this world Yerushalayim. Shenemar v'ata yisrael ma'ashem l'kecha sholam me'imach ki'im li'yiras Hashem. Pasuk in Devarim says very clearly that the only thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you is Yiras Hashem. I mean, obviously there's a lot that comes along with it, but the base of it all, the foundation of it all, is Yiras Hashem. Uksiv v'yom al Adam, hein Yiras Hashem hi chachma, shekein b'lashon yavani karen la'achas hein. In other words, do you know how to say one in Greek? I don't either. But the Pasuk in Iyov right, says v'yom al Adam, Hain Yiras Hashem. Now, in Greek, the word Hain means one. So it means one is Yiras Hashem. Meaning that's the singular purpose of this world, is Yiras Hashem. So it's this time, so you see very clearly that Rav Elazar gives the most prominence to Yerushalayim. So going back to the story, when the Amora passed by, so they stood for him. Why? Because he has Yerushalayim. Darsh Ravula Mai Dechsiv Al Tirsha Harbei. Ravula darshan's the following pasuk. It says, "Don't be overly bad." Now, harbeu dola lirsha amat lirsha. Now, the pasuk just really is difficult, and perhaps the Gemara is bringing this up over here because yesterday's daf we were talking about the difficulties within Sefer Kohelet, the difficulties within Sefer Mishlei. So perhaps that's why the Gemara brings this up over here at this point in time. Don't be too bad, but a little bit bad is okay. The Gemara says, "What does that mean?" So Ella Misha Achoshem Rechonodiv Yachzav Yachoshem Acher Vihei Rechonodiv. What the Navi is telling us, what the Sefer Kohelet is telling us is, look, don't do the following. Don't, in other words, if you eat a little bit of garlic and now your breath is bad, so what's the move now? Should you eat more garlic so your breath gets even worse? Meaning no. Meaning don't allow one slip up to then just simply be a justification, a rationalization. Well, you know, if I did this, so therefore I should do that as well. Meaning, one would lead to another. And Al Tirsha Harbei, the Gemara's understanding of it now is, just because you slipped up once, doesn't mean that you should now allow yourself many more opportunities to slip up. Darash Rava Baravula, my dechsev ki ein chartzuvos lemosam. They're not fearful of the death. The Navi here in Tehillim is describing people who are not tzaddikim, just the opposite. They're not fearful of the death. Ubari ulam, and not only that, worse than that is bari ulam. They are healthy like an ulam. Now, an ulam is the foyer, the antechamber of the Beis Hamikdash. It's big, it's large, it's expansive. So the doorway to the ulam, you remember back in the days of Midos, the doorway to the ulam was the largest doorway. So anyway, Amakash Baruch Hu lo dain l'Rishayim she'enem chadarim charedin v'atzavin mi yom ha-misa. It's not enough that Rishayim are not scared of the yom ha-misa. Elo shalim ambar lahem ku'ulam. But rather their heart is strong like the ulam, like the foyer. V'hayna da'amar rava ma'idichsiv zed dakam kesolamo yodim Rishayim she'dark l'misa. Look, everyone knows that you're going to die. Even the Rishayim know that. V'hish lahem chela v'akislam. And still they have a lot of fat around their kessel, around their organs. Shema tamar shecha himehen. So tamalama v'achareim b'fim yurtsu selam. And they even talk about the day of the death, but still doesn't affect them whatsoever. Meaning they know about it, they talk about it, but it doesn't really change their ways. So, okay. And for now, that ends the agadic section of the daf, and we now resume a halachic discussion. Now the halachic discussion takes us all the way back to the Mishnah. Let's review the Mishnah. The Mishnah was all the way back in Chavtes Amud Beis, and the Mishnah said, "Amechabetz Aner, if you extinguish the fire, mimnei shu misyarei, because you're afraid, mimnei nachru, mimnei listem, mimnei rechra, mimnei cholash yishan pater." So in all these cases, you're doing so, but you're doing so not for the reason of extinguishing the fire. You're doing so for an external reason. You're afraid of Persians, thieves, in a bad spirit, or there's a chola in the room, so you extinguish it for one of those reasons, you'd be pater. So we already had a discussion, what exactly does pater mean over here? Does it mean it's mutter? Because we're talking about a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Is a pater of al aser? It's a malacha shein and tzricha legufa. Okay, we discussed that already at length. And then we move on to the next part of the Mishnah. Kechas al aner, kechas al shem, kechas al psil achayev. So if I'm extinguishing because the nair, the lamp, is about to break, or the oil is going to get depleted and I want to save some of the oil, or because the wick is about to get burnt out and I want to save the wick for another occasion, so it says the Tanakam, in all those cases you'd be chayev. Okay, and then the Mishnah quotes the position of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi poter b'chulan. Rabbi Yossi says, in any of these events, you would be poter. Chutz min apsila mimneishu ose pecham. Except for the wick, because you're making a charcoal. You're making a coal. Okay. Now, when you think about this position of Rabbi Yossi, so the question basically begs itself. Why, according to Rabbi Yossi, if I extinguish to save the oil, well, that's, and let's not use the word okay, because it's not okay, it's still lasa midrabanan, but that's not a malacha. And when I extinguish it to save the lamp, well, that's not a malacha. But when I extinguish to save the wick, oh, that's a malacha. What's the difference? So the Gemara is now going to be bothered by this very question. Rav Yossi Kamansrele. Now, it really touches on the question which we already dealt with before, a couple days ago, but now we get to hear this again, the issue of malacha shein tzricha legufa. Meaning that when I do a malacha, the malacha has to be performed if I want to successfully do a malacha, not that I want to, but I'm saying we're talking about efficacy. We're talking about how to successfully violate malacha. It has to be done legufa. It has to be done for its sake. Now, exactly what that means, I told you it's a little bit sketchy in terms of what exactly that means. I quoted Rashi a number of times. I quoted Rashi a couple days ago. Rashi says that basically it has to be a positive, constructive act. And it can't just simply be removing something that is uncomfortable, something unpleasant. Okay, that's the Rashi's understanding of Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. But anyway, we know, we've said this already a number of times, Machlok Tshin Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rav Yehuda says that Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is Chayev, meaning it doesn't change the Malacha whatsoever. It's still going to be a Malacha. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is Pater. Okay, Pater of Alasar. Good. And I told you on this issue, there's a machlok Rishonim between the Rambam and basically all other Rishonim in terms of who we follow halacha. The Rambam holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and all other Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch Pasan like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, good. Now we have a Mishnah. So now our Mishnah quotes the position of Rabbi Yossi, but the question really that underlines our Mishnah is who is he following? So Iker Rabbi Yehuda Sreilei Afilu Behanachnam Lechayev. So let's start off like this. If Rabbi Yossi is going like Rabbi Yehuda, so that means a malacha shein tzricha legufa is chayev. So what difference does it make? What purpose I'm extinguishing the fire? Right now, I'm extinguishing the fire. I know exactly what I'm doing. I am extinguishing the fire. Now, and I don't have to look at intent of why I'm extinguishing the fire, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, malacha shein tzricha legufa is going to be chayev. So you can't align Rav Yossi with Rabbi Yehuda. So, okay, so then process of elimination. So what are we left with? V'ikar Rabbi Shimon Svirulei. So now we're left with saying that he goes like Rabbi Shimon, but psila nami lipater. But then, a malacha shein tzricha legufa means I'm extinguishing the wick. I'm extinguishing the fire for no other reason than because I'm extinguishing the fire. But if there's an ulterior motive involved in terms of why, because of something unpleasant that I just want to get rid of, in this case, it's not unpleasant, but I want to save the oil, I want to save the lamp, I want to save the wick, that is a malacha shein tzricha legufa. And that would mean that, according to Rabbi Shimon, you'd be putter across the board in any one of these cases.
But there's a particular ratio with the filament, no? So you're making charcoal no matter how you try to extinguish it.
Correct. But in other words, by malacha shein tzricha legufa, there's no real concept of psik resha. Meaning, malacha shein tzricha legufa, I know exactly what I'm doing. and I know all the consequences of why I'm doing it. It's simply not a malacha because I'm not doing it for its sake. I'm being careful about how I say it, but you have to do it for its sake.
But the thing is, doesn't Rabbi Shimon say that that only applies if there's no psik reisha?
But psik reisha is only a discussion within the framework of davar she'eino miskaven, meaning that's not my intent. This issue of malacha shenisach gufa, it's not an intent issue. There's no question of intent. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows exactly what the consequences are going to be. It's now just becoming an issue of what is the very definition of a malacha. Is a malacha something where I do for its sake, or let's say I don't do it for its sake? Again, let's go back to classic examples. Let's see if I can make this clear. Right, digging a hole. Right, the Torah says don't dig a hole in Shabbos. Why not? So because you want to dig a hole so you can plant. Let's say I'm digging a hole for the dirt. I am not doing the malacha for its sake, meaning for... Now, I know what I always do this. I slip into Tosfos's definition. Right? I'm not doing it for the sake of making a hole, which was the Torah's original intent. I'm doing it for something else. It's not an issue of intent. It's a question of why I'm doing it. So, if I'm not doing it for its sake, for malacha tzricha gufa, so now that means that, according to Rabbi Shimon, you'd be pater. So in our Mishnah now, I'm extinguishing for not the sake of extinguishing, but because I want to save the oil, because I want to save the lamp, because I want to save the wick. All those are examples of malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. And if Rav Yossi subscribes to Rabbi Shimon, putter across the board. Okay. So this is obviously an issue to which now the Gemara is going to present. V'kasav Rav Yossi, sorry, what I just do. Amar ula, la'olam ki Rabbi Yehuda svirelei. Okay. So, we're going to align him, meaning Rav Yossi, like Rav Yehuda, which means now that Amlacha, Shein Esrich Lagufa, you'd be Chayev. So you should now be Chayev across the board. So because of Rav Yossi, so I'm not Slivnos, Mimkom, Ave Soser. I'm not Slivnos, Shalom, Mimkom, Alo, Ave Soser. And here now, we're going to turn, and we're going to change gears in terms of what now becomes the issue of our Mishnah. Meaning, Malacha Shein Esrich Lagufa is not the issue. We know that because we're going to say that Rav Yossi holds like Rav Yehuda. So even though it's not legufa, even though it's not for its sake, the fact that you're extinguishing already means now that you are violating a malacha, even though it's ain't a legufa, and therefore you should be chayv. Good. And you should be chayv across the board. Whether I'm saving the wick, whether I'm saving the oil, or whether I'm saving the lamp, I should be chayv. Period. Okay, what's the issue over here? So now we're going to change gears, and now we're going to bring on another discussion and another issue. Generally speaking, on Shabbos, the malachas all speak to constructive acts, acts of creativity, right? I'm planting because now what's going to happen is that something's going to grow, right? I'm building so that I build. I'm cooking so that now the food becomes food, prepared food, so that I can eat. So for the most part, of the 39 malachas, most of them speak to the idea of a constructive, creative act. There are some malachas, again, we haven't even seen them yet, coming up. Ayin Beis, Ayin Gimel. So I told you, that's like the beginning of the Masechta. Everything here is like intro. So there are malachas, however, that speak to a destructive act. Meaning in the Mishnah, what is there? There's a malacha called Soser, demolishing. There's a malacha called Kivui, extinguishing. There's a malacha called Korea, tearing. So in other words, there are a couple of malachas that are mentioned which are destructive in nature. So how does that work? Meaning, that doesn't fit. It doesn't fit into the general theme of malachos, which are constructive. So basically what we have to say, and here the Gemara is saying it very clearly, is that even these destructive malachos are only malachos if they're destructive with the final end goal of creating something constructive. Meaning right now I'm tearing, but only so that I could stitch it up better. Right now I'm demolishing only so that I could build. Right now, I'm extinguishing only so that I can light it later. In other words, it can't be, the malacha can't be just the act itself, because the act itself, by definition, is kilkul. It has to be an act.
Kilkul, I'm sorry.
Kilkul means destructive.
Uh-huh.
It can't be that. It has to be an act where I'm doing something now, but with the purpose of doing so, for the purpose of doing something constructive later. Good. That's, you're going to be our new understanding of these malachas, which are destructive in nature. Now, on this, so let's take a look at what malacha are we talking about. We're talking about the malacha of kibui, of extinguishing. What the Gemara is now going to do is basically say, look, kibui is destructive, right? In other words, The construction is creating a fire. Once I put a fire out, that's destructive. So the only way we can understand the malacha is within the parameter of, I'm extinguishing so that I can light better next time. Okay, this is kivui al minas lahavir. I don't know if I said it well, but yeah, hopefully you understand. Now, if you don't do it for a constructive end, so then it's not a malacha. Kilko mekalka still pater of us, or it's still rabbinically forbidden to do so. But in other words, it will not constitute a malacha unless there's a constructive end game. Now, we're going to go take this discussion and develop it even one step further. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that it's not enough for you to destroy in order to construct, but the construction has to take place at the same exact location as where you destroyed.
Right
there and then. But if I destroy something only to rebuild it somewhere else, that does not qualify as al-minas. Al-minas is only qualified when I destroy and rebuild in the same exact location.
What time window? Do you have to do it at the same time window?
Good question. I don't know.
What if you do it like on a weekday?
I understood. I'm not sure.
If you rebuild it on a weekday?
Yeah, you destroy, destroy Shabbat with the intent to rebuild on a weekday.
Okay.
What?
I don't know the answer. So that is the parameter given by Rabbi Yossi. So now when we look back at our Mishnah, so now when we, and the analysis of our Mishnah is going to be like this. Look, it's a malacha. Extinguishing is a malacha. But because it's a destructive malacha, so there has to be I'm extinguishing. Why? So that I can relight. So now, and we're going to further qualify, not just relight, but relight in the same location. Now, Binyan and Stira, now we're talking about, in other words, obviously comparing the Binyan and Stira to extinguishing and relighting, right? And we're making that comparison. It's a little bit tricky how we work that comparison, because by Stira Binyan, by destroying and rebuilding, it's very clear to understand. I'm destroying right here on this location, and I'm going to rebuild right here on this location. That you kind of understand. But when we talk about extinguishing and relighting, so... what does location mean? Meaning, and it's got to be right here. So essentially now what the Gemara is saying is, when it comes to saving the wick, which essentially means that I'm putting out the wick right now so I can relight the wick, that's considered same location. But if I'm only extinguishing it so that I can save the oil, or I'm only extinguishing it so I can save the lamp, now it could very well be that when I relight, it'll be the same oil. And it could very well be that when I relight, it'll be the same lamp, but the Gemara's assumption is that that's not considered same location. I guess it's because I could move the oil, I could relocate to a different lamp. So in other words, that's not considered same location. That's not considered mimkomo. But when it comes to the wick, when I'm extinguishing the wick, obviously now I'm looking to relight it, that's considered bimkomo. Same location. Okay, that I understand that part of the discussion is tricky. That's definitely one of the more difficult aspects to this discussion. But that is how the Gemara is framing the discussion, and so that's how we're going to understand the Mishnah. The difference between extinguishing for the wick as opposed to extinguishing for the oil or the lamp. Okay, everything I said just in the last couple of minutes, all contained within Rashi. Please see Rashi inside. Rashi goes through everything we just went through outside. The Iker Rabbi Shimon Sfira Land. Sorry. La Olam Karev Yehuda Vekasav Rav Yosi. I'm reading back in the Gemara. Sosa Amnas Livnos Bimkom Avisosa Amnas Livnos Shalom Bimkom Alo Avisoser. And that's why we're going to make a distinction between wicks versus oil and lamp. Amle Rabba Mechti Komalach Ziofin Lumi Mishkan. Vahasam Sosa Amnas Livnos Shalom Bimkom Ahu. Rabba asks a brilliant question. Meaning, you're telling me that any destructive malacha is only a malacha if I'm rebuilding in the same location. So the Gemara says, let's think about this. Where do we all learn all our malachas from? From the Mishkan. So they put down, they took down the Mishkan. Okay? Mishkan was movable, it was transportable, so they took it down. Where did they rebuild it?
In a
new location. Of course, that's why we took it down to begin with. Because we're moving to a new location. So the only reason why we take things apart in the Mishkan is only to rebuild it in a new place. And you're telling me that the very definition of a malacha is only when I rebuild it in the same place? Okay, that's just brilliant, brilliant question. Amalei, listen to the answer. Interesting answer. Amalei, shani hasam kevin dechsiv, api hashem yachanu, kisos amnas livos bim kamo dami. Well, yes, it's true, we relocated, but God told us where to go. So because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told us where to go, so it's ki'ilu, it's as if we're rebuilding in the same spot.
We're always rebuilding where God tells us.
Correct. So that's the spot. Correct. Okay, so all right, great exchange in the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Amar Lo Olam K'Rav Shimon Tzvirlei. Okay, so that was all approach number one. Okay, so to the question of who does our Mishnah follow like, or more specifically, who does Rav Yossi follow like? So answer number one is he follows like Rav Yehuda, Malach Hashem Tzrich Leguf as Chayev. So how in the world can you make a distinction between wicks versus lamp and oil? So it's a kilkul discussion, and it gets into the discussion of what is the definition of almanas. Okay. Approach number two is given by Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, Amar Lo Olam K'Rabbi Shimon Tzrilei. No. Our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Shimon, Amalach Hashem Tzrich Legufa is Potter. Okay? Maishna Psila Kedam Rav Hamnuna V'itim Rav Adar Ba'ava Hacha B'Psila Shetzarech Lehi V'Hava Askinan. Meaning, that even though Amalach Hashem Tzrich Legufa is Potter, why are we going to make a difference between wick versus the others? The lamp and the oil? Because this wick, I need to light it in order to make it a wick. Meaning that as per making it a wick, I have to, it's almost like a starter kit. I got to light it first, extinguish it, now it has become a wick. It's almost like constructive, right? I'm priming it. I am making a kli, literally fixing a kli. I'm Rava Nekanamik Yitzani. Rava says it's such a great answer. In fact, when you reread the Mishnah, read it carefully, and you'll see this is exactly what the Mishnah is saying. Shu Ose Pecham. You're making a coal. Meaning the reason why extinguishing the wick is a malacha, even according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that a malacha shein tzrich l'guf is pater. So here it's a malacha. Why? Because you're creating. You're making a wick. It doesn't say because a wick was made, but rather because you're actively making a wick. So you see that's the pshat in the Mishnah. So when all said and done, now we have two explanations of our Mishnah. Who is Rav Yossi following? So either he's following like Rav Yehuda, Malach Hashem Tzrich Legufa is Chayev. And so why are you exempt in the other two cases? Because that's kilkul. Because it's just simply destruction. As opposed to the wick, which is considered kilkul amenas. Because it's considered mimkama. Then we have the second shot of our Mishnah, which is that our Mishnah really is going like Rabbi Shimon. A malach shein tzrich legufa is pater. So then why by the wick are you going to be chayv? Because you're actually making the wick. The lighting and extinguishing of the wick is the actual making of the wick, and that's why you would be chayv. Ad kan. Baruch atah Adonai Melech Haolam shekol midbaro. Okay. And we start now with the next Mishnah. Right. Second to last Mishnah of the Perek. Childbirth is very precarious. It's a very hazardous situation. The woman is in a very delicate state. And the Mishnah tells us that at that time where a woman is really... she's in a... let's just say that she is more open to death. So therefore, her sins are going to be much more accentuated and could really exacerbate the situation. And the Mishnah says that over three sins in particular, a woman will die at the time of childbirth. Over not being careful over the mitzvahs of Nida, of Chala, and Hadlakas Haner. So the Gemara immediately goes on, why specifically these three? Nida my taima. So Am Rav Yitzchak ki kilkala bechadre bitna lefichach takla bechadre bitna. The Gemara goes mida keneged mida. It is one of the most popular themes throughout Shas. Rashi brings it up in Chumash time and again. And that's mida keneged mida, measure for measure. So because she was not careful about chadre bitna, so therefore her takala, her stumbling will happen bechadre bitna, in her womb. Okay, so I understand the mida keneged mida, quality of her not being careful with nida, so therefore she dies at childbirth. But what about chala? What about halakas aner? So kedidarish ugila ale de Rav Chista. So there was a drasha said in front of Rav Chista. Merkash Baruch Hu v'yaznam nasati bechem al iske dam hizarti eschem. So I gave you Revi's dam. Now, I know I have physicians in this room. You'll probably tell me that there are more than 4 ounces of blood in the human blood, in the human body. You're just for my own curiosity, how much blood does the average person have, approximately?
Eight quarts?
Okay. 8 units. Okay.
Think about how much is needed to stay alive.
Yeah, so the Gemara, very good. So right. So the Gemara says that how much does a person needed to stay alive? So the Gemara points to Revius, which is approximately 4 ounces. So, the point is Revius dam nasati bechem al iske dam izarti eschem. So, I gave you a Revius of dam, and I told you to be careful about it, and I also told you to be careful about iske dam. Iske dam, of course, here being a reference to nida. Good. I may say good. None of this is good, but you understand. Reishis karasi eschem, al iske reishis izarti eschem. I called you reishis, and I also told you to be careful about reishis arisosechem, meaning the mitzvah of chala, taking off the first of the dome. And neshama shenasati bachem kruyen er, al iske ner izarti eschem, an idea that we've actually touched on just a couple days ago, that our neshama is referred to as a ner, and so therefore when the woman's not careful about the mitzvah of ner, so therefore her ner, her neshama, is at risk as well. So if you're careful about these particular mitzvahs, which are basically critical mitzvahs, meaning mitzvahs that are connected some way to life, so if you're not careful about that, so then the woman's life then becomes part put in the balance. Now, why specifically at the time of birth? Meaning, if these mitzvahs are so critical, and failure to comply to these mitzvahs puts her life into a stage of suffolk, but why during Shas Leda? Why while giving birth? Why not at any other given point in time? Now, the answer is pretty straightforward. I'm going to say it outside, even though intuitively you already know the answer. And that is because at the time when the person is at risk, so that's when their life is going to be taken, is possibly taken. But when the person's healthy, so therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really needs to do more action, so to say, in order to take the person's life. Okay, so in other words, the simple answer is because the person's at risk at that point in time. The Gemara will present this answer by way of metaphor, and the Gemara is going to give numerous metaphors that speak to this idea that you got to be more careful at a time where there's more danger present. Am Rava nafal tura chadav sakina. So the way Rava says it is that when the ox falls down, and now he's about to die, get the knife out quickly, shech the ox. Of course you're going to make sure the ox is not a treifa, but you understand. Meaning now he's in a precarious state, sharpen the knife, go shech the ox. Abai amar, tafish tiros amasa, Bechad machtera lehave. When the rebellion of the maidservant increases, so with one punishment, it'll just end. Rav Chista Amar Shafke leRavya deMenafshe Nafel. Let the drunken leave the drunk alone; he'll fall on his own. Mar Ukva Amar Raya Chagra veIzerihitin. When you have a lame shepherd, and the flock is running. So abav chutra mili va'abedari chushbana. So when at the entrance of the gate there are words, and at the entrance of the doorway, so there's going to be a cheshbon. Simply put, it basically means that that if you are in a sensitive state, in a precarious state, so then that means that you're gonna fall. Rav Papa Amar Abav Chanvasa Nefishe Ache Omer Achame, at the entrance of the market, So there's a lot of people who like you, but above bizyone, but if you are not in the market, meaning you're not at large, but you are in trouble, lo achme v'lo merachme, you have less people who are going to like you. Meaning, while you're healthy, so you have a lot of zechuyos to protect you, but when you're not healthy, so then, again, you are just simply more sensitive, and that's the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take you. V'gavri heche mivdike, when is a person examined? Okay, good. All right, so that now, by way of analogy, the Gemara basically said many different ways that when the person is most, woman is in the most sensitive time, so that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at her avonos. Good. That's all by a woman. Now, what about a man? Meaning, obviously, in this regard, the Mishnah is not saying that women are different than men, it's just saying that women have their mitzvos, and therefore that puts them in a precarious state. What about men? At what point exactly are men in a precarious state where if they have avonos, so their avonos are going to be looked at with more speculation? I'm Reish Lakish b'shash over Mal Gesher. So Reish Lakish says, when a man's going over the bridge, right, bridges back in the good old days were delicate, right, definitely dangerous. And so when a man is walking over the bridge, so that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu visits him for his Chatayim. So Gesher Vesula, the Gemara says, really, that's the only time? So Ema Kain Gesher, the Gemara says, yeah, a bridge and anything like a bridge. So in other words, any time that a man is involved in any type of dangerous activity, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu visits him at that point. Rav Lo Avra B'Mavra D'Yasev Be'Akum. Rav, by practice, would not go over the ferry, would not go on a ferry where there was a non-Jew on the ferry. Amar, his argument was, Dilma Mifked Lay Dina Alei Umitfasina Bahade. Because as far as my Din V'Cheshbon is concerned, Rav says, I'm okay. Which, you know, he takes a Rav to know that. But I'm okay in terms of my own personal Din V'Cheshbon. But I'm going to be traveling with a non-Jew, and he's got his Din V'Cheshbon, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu may take him down, and I just may be collateral damage. Meaning I just went down because of the outcome. So by practice, I won't go on a ferry with a non-Jew. Shmuel Avra Elabem Avra Disbe Akum. Now Shmuel, similar reasoning, but opposite conclusion. I only go on a ferry where there is an akum. Amar sinah betrayuma lo shalit. Now he knows, as a rule, that Satan doesn't attack people from two nationalities. So, okay, don't ask me to explain that any better, please. But in other words, the Satan only can handle one nationality at a time. So therefore, Shmuel knows, if I'm on a boat with somebody else, so because of the confluence of Mazel, I'll be fine. Rav Yana Badik V'Avar. Now Rav Yana would inspect the boat first and then cross on the boat. Rav Yana Letami Da'amar La'olam Al-Yam Aradam Ha'makum Sakana. Rav Yana says, look, don't put yourself in a dangerous situation. Lomer Shosin Lo Nei Shemei Nosin Lo. Because, and you'll say, oh, don't worry, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of me. Don't rely.
Care of you already.
Yeah, right. Correct. Don't. Enosin lo nes. The emosin lo nes. Menachelam is chul yosav. And if a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to intervene, so that means that he has got to take some of your credit in order to save you right now, and you don't want to lose your credit. So therefore, don't put yourself in a makom sakana. I'm Rav Chanin Maikra. Kantanti mikol achasidim mikol ames. Okay, and here you have the pasuk that speaks to this idea where Yaakov says, I've been reduced because of all that you've done for me. Rabbi Zera b'Yuma d'Shusa, Rabbi Zera, when it was a strong wind, a southern wind, which apparently was a very strong wind, lo nafik le'benedikla, so he wouldn't walk out between the palm trees, right? And I know we just experienced a hurricane, although we got saved the brunt of it. But in other words, when things are flying around, so don't go outside, don't walk under the palm tree, meaning because even if you're saved, that just simply means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did more to save you. And so he says, as a practice, you should be much more conservative, much more reserved in risk-taking. I'm Rav Yitzchak Breid, Rav Yehuda, Olam Yivakesh Adam Rachamim Shlo Yechla. A person should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachamim that he does not get sick. The Gemara here speaks to preventative medicine. Person should make sure not to get sick. Shem Yachla, Omer Mlo, Vezechus, Vipater. Because once you get sick, so now, once again, you're going to have to use up your Zechuyos. And they say, bring us the Zechus so that he can be saved from his illness. You know, the Ramban writes a whole sefer about Avelus and Hilchus Avelus. It's Torah Sa'adam. So he starts off with the halachas of Bikur Cholam, and the very first point that he makes, the Torah brings it down. In fact, when the Torah brings down the halachas of Bikur Cholam and Hilchus Avelus, he basically copies down almost word for word the Ramban in the Torah Sa'adam. He says so. He doesn't plagiarize. He says this is basically the Torah Sa'adam. So anyway, so he quotes the first halacha he quotes is this Gemara right over here, where he says that when you're davening for health, so you should be davening every day that you don't get sick. Amar Maruk v'maykra ki pol nofel mimenu. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Kiseitse, where if you don't make a fence around your roof, that's not good. In fact, what's going to happen is someone's going to fall off your roof. And there you are now, you're going to be responsible, not in a court of law, meaning not that kind of liability, but mina shamayim, you're going to be responsible for the death of somebody else. So make sure to put a fence around your roof. And, oh, by the way, we live in South Florida, put one around your pool as well. So ki pola nofel mimenu mimenu lahavi raya. So it's mimenu, meaning... right, it's from you. Meaning, for whatever reason, as a result of you, the person fell off. So now the Gemara here is focusing on the words ki yifal hanofel, the fall or fell. Right, doesn't sound right in English. The fall or fell, but if you think about it, you realize it's a strange way to describe it. The Torah could have said ki yifal ha'adam. Right? What does it mean? Ki yipol hanofel. So the Gemara says, "Rise that lipol misheshi may brachus," meaning he fell, he deserved to fall. Okay. Shahare lo nafa v'hakasav karu nofel, because even before having actually fallen, so the Torah refers to him as the nofel. So in other words, his destiny was to fall. Ella, but why did he fall over your roof? Because you also have some liability, you have something to answer for, so that's why he specifically fell off your roof. So it all becomes extraordinarily complicated, right? The way I love saying it is, I'm not God's accountant, but in other words, in the realm of accounting, he deserved to fall, but you also have a role in it that he fell off of your roof. Tanu Rabbanan Mishachal Avinata Lamos Omrim Lo Hisvadem. Okay, difficult halacha, but if somebody's about to die, this is really where the rabbi earns his stripes. So if somebody is sick and he's about to die, so at that point you say to him hisvadeh, meaning vidui. Right now is the time for confession. Shekein kol mumsim misvadim. In other words, then you have to explain to him that it's not you. Everybody does it. Everybody who dies says vidui. Adam Yosei Eloshuki Hidame Be'enav Kimisha Nimsa Lissard Yut. A person goes out to the marketplace, so you view yourself as if you are now standing in front of a judge. Chosh Berosho, if you have a headache, Yedama Be'enav Kimisha Nasnu Be'kolar. It's as if the chains were put around you. Alalamita Vinafal. If let's say you got so sick you're bedridden, Yedama Be'enav Kimisha Elo Legardom Lidon. So it's like you're put on a scaffold in order to be judged. Shekola ola lagardum lidom im yeshlo praklitin. So if he has some sort of defense, so gedolim nitzal. So in other words, if you have a good defense attorney, so that's great. V'im lav einu nitzal, but without a good defense attorney, you're not going to be saved. V'elo ein praklitin shaladam, and what makes for us a good defense attorney? Tshuva umasim tovim. And even if you have 999 prosecuting attorneys, if you will, we don't really mean people, but you know what I mean, or maybe you don't, but you have one defending voice, so even though it's now a percentage of a percent, right, one out of 1%, but nevertheless, you're going to be saved. Echad mane elef lahagil lahadam yishro v'yanenu, sorry, v'yichanenu v'yomer pada'uhu merida shachas. The pasuk in Iyov speaks to the idea that even if it's 1 out of 1,000, a ratio of 1 to 999, so nevertheless you have one melis yosher, one person speaking on your behalf, So that serves as a good defense. Rabbi Elazar ben Osher, Rabbi Yosef, Agli Lomer, Afilu Chamiyos V'Tishim, V'Tisha Ba'Oso Malach, L'Chova V'Echa L'Tzchus, Nitzol Shenemra Melech Tzecha Meni Elef. And even if it's all with the same Malach, nevertheless you are going to be saved, even if, as long as you have one defender. Tana Rabbanan. Ashal Shavers Nasha Mesos Yoldos. Okay, back now to the discussion of the woman, and the woman being in such a sensitive situation, her sins are going to come visit her. So the Gemara here quotes a Braisa, for three Averos a woman dies Yoldos, while she's giving birth. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Nasha Mesos Yaldus. Now the way Rabbi Elazar says it, it's not Yoldos while giving birth, but Yaldus at a young age. Okay. Rav Acha Omer ba'avon shemechabsot soas b'neim b'shabbos v'yeshomim al-shakon la'aron ha-kodesh arna. Now, in this braisa, we're given more information than what we saw in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah really localized it to three averos. In this braisa speaks about more averos. The Gemara here speaks about, Rav Acha is quoted as saying that the sin of cleaning her child's clothing that are soiled. And she does so on Shabbos. Now we know one of the malachas on Shabbos is kivus, is laundering, libun, if you will. And so taking water, that's right, something we all need to be more careful about. Taking, let's say you get a stain on Shabbos on one of your clothing, and taking water and rubbing water into the clothing, that's the malacha. It's a malacha on Shabbos of libun. So the so for that, the woman is, that's a chait that a woman has to answer for. Also, litenes adin, and another chait, which is not as, which is much more subtle, is that for the aron kodesh, so she simply refers to it as arno, meaning it's a chest. It's right. So, in other words, speaking very casually. So, in other words, malacha Shabbos, that I think we all understand. In other words, that's a clear cut violation of Chilul Shabbos. But over here, speaking casually, it's a much more subtle offense. And the Gemara says, but still, that's something also where the woman is going to have to answer for when she's in a precarious state. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel ben Elazar Omer Be'alvan Shnei Dvarim Ame Haaretzos Mesim. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elazar says that I can attribute the death of Ame Haaretz to the following. Two particular sins. Al Shekon La'arna Karsh Arna, that they refer to the Aron Kodesh as a chest. Val Karsh Shekon La'Beis HaKadeshes Beisam. And they, when they say to the shul, Beisam, it's a place where people congregate. It's a social hall. Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. I didn't mean it to come out that way. Okay. Tanya. Yeah, for those of you listening at home and don't understand what I'm saying, so ignore it. But... Okay, it's literally an inside joke. Okay, it's not even a joke. It's really, it's so sad, and that's why we're all laughing right now. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer Shlosha Batku Misa. I'm sorry, Shlosha Batke Misa Nivru Beisha. V'amrila Shlosha Davke Misa. Now, there are two ways to say it, and it's funny because it's the same letters. It's just a question of how to construct the letters. But there's Shlosha Batke Misa. There are three tests that test a woman. And if she doesn't pass the test, she'll die. Or Shlosha Dovke Misa. It's the same letters, but Devek from the word Devek. Like, in other words, they cling to her. So the difference between them, just wait a moment, we'll say it out. So Nidavachalav Alakas and Aaron, they are the three that we mentioned in our Mishnah. But in other words, basically, what's the difference between saying it as Badke versus saying it as Dovke? So the Gemara says, Chadaka Rabbi Lazar, Chadaka Rabbanan. The difference is whether you subscribe to Rav Elazar or whether you subscribe to the Chachamim. Meaning, one way to say it is like the Chachamim, in that they are bodkei misa, they are tests. Meaning that when a woman is in a situation of being critical and being sensitive and being precarious, so that's a test. And if she has been careful with these mitzvahs, she'll pass the test. But if not, she won't. That's bodkei misa. As opposed to Dovke Misa, Dovke Misa means these particular sins are close to the woman, even at an early age, so that if she doesn't comply with these mitzvahs at an early age, so therefore she will meet an earlier fate. And that's Dovke Mises, meaning they cling to her. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Halachos Hektes Shumos Amaitzos Heinin Gufei Torah. The halachos of sanctified, things that are sanctified, and Shumos and Maisos, they're Gufei Torah. In other words, this is like, no pun intended, but the meat and potatoes of Torah. V'nimsru La'amei Aretz. And who's in charge of this? The farmers, the workers, ordinary people, meaning us people, Jews. V'nimsru La'amei Aretz. And what the Gemara's point is, take a look at Rashi, top Rashi on the page. Shalom masal abezin limnos shomrim ledaver ve'emina Torah. Kol ha'adam alayim. Meaning we don't have Bezdin court-appointed people saying truma. Oh my gosh, let's go out to the field. Let's make sure. Did he take off truma? In other words, no. It's for us to take care of. Right? Nimsar Torah. Let's call Adam Aleim veHeinein Gufei Torah. Shechaverim Ochlin Pitam veSamchin Shenita Memenu Chala uTruma uMasros veHektesh. I'm sorry, uMasros. And so you have people who are eating food, and who are they relying on to make sure that Chala and Truma are taken off? Ordinary people. V'hektesh nami masal chol adam lahektesh v'chal hektesh al pi kol adam v'ein gufei Torah. And hektesh, meaning anyone can make hektesh. I can make hektesh. Meaning, you just simply point to an animal and you say, this animal is hektesh. And meanwhile, so it really is in the hands of the masses. Tanya Rabbi Nassan Omer Ba'avon Nadarim Mesa Isha Shal Adam. Person's got to be very careful about what he says, and then more importantly than what he says, to follow up and make sure that he does what he says he will do. So this is the Avon Adarim. And the Gemara now speaks in very strong terms about the consequences of not complying with what you said. Ba'avon Adarim Bani Mesim. Sorry, I skipped one. Ba'avon Adarim, second line down. Mesa Isha Shal Adam. Man's wife will die. Shenamra im ein lechala shalom lama yikach mishka v'acha mitachtecha. The mishkav is taken from under you. Reference to a man's wife. Rabbi Omer b'avon adarim bani mesim. And Rabbi says, person's children will die. Kishen ketanim while they're minors. Meaning, while they are dependents and attached to you, so therefore, if you sin, so they are attachments, they are dependents, so therefore, unfortunately. Shenem al titen is bichalachti is pesarecha val tarmal lefnei amalch kishagagahi lamik sofalokim al kolecha v'chaval es ma'ase yadecha. And the pasuk in Kohelet sends and says, and who will be affected? Your ma'ase yadecha. Eze hein ma'ase yadav shal adam havi omer banav v'nosav shal adam. It's talking about your children. Tanu rabban b'avon adarim b'ani mesim divrei Rav Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi omer b'avon bitul Torah. So the Gemara is going to now ascribe another particular chait to the death of one's children. So Bishlam Laman Dharma Bhavan Adharm Kedamara. Now, as far as the Avon Adharm, so that we already spoke out, that is the Pasuk Kohelis, Alti Tenis Picha, Lachtis Pasarecha. Gotta be really careful about what you say. Alaman Dharma Bhavan Bitotara Maikra, Dirsiv La Shavi Kisius Benechem. The Pasuk Yirmiyahu, this is to be read as a question. Do you think your children died for no reason? Musar lo lakachu, he didn't take Musar. And Musar over here is meant to be understood as a lack of limud haTorah. He was mevatel Torah. Rav Nachman Yisrael Alaman Dar Mabavon Adar Nami Mehach LaShav Ikisas Benechem Aliske Shav. What we could do is we could turn to that same pasuk in Yirmiyahu and we could assign that to Avon Adar because LaShav from the word Shvur Shav. Michti Rav Yehuda Anasi Hainu Rabbi, Rabbi Bavon Adarim Kamar. So the Gemara now just notes that Rabbi and Rav Yehuda Anasi are one and the same. And we're a little bit confused because previously he said it was Avon Adarim, and then he said it was Bitul Torah. So what does he hold? So Basta Deshamim Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says he changed his tune after he heard it from Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Pligi bar Rav Chia bar Avon, Rav Yossi Chanam Abavon, Mezuzah Chanam Abavon, Bitul Torah. The Gemara now speaks about other Chataim, where life will be curtailed. The Gemara here speaks again about Bitul Torah, and the Gemara also speaks about mezuzah. Laman d'amar bavon mezuzah mikra nidrash lefanav, v'lo lefnei panav. Ulaman d'amar bavon Bitul Torah mikra nidrash lefanav, v'lo lefnei panav. The Gemara here is speaking about Shema. The Pasuk in Shema speaks to the idea. No, sorry, Tehillim. So I was thinking your sitter. It's okay. Right? That your life will be long, and not only your life will be long, but your children's life will be long. And immediately before that, what comes up in Shema? Immediately before that, the mitzvah of mezuzah. And immediately before that, what comes before that? Tefillin also, but the mitzvah of limud haTorah, of teaching your children Torah. So now what the Gemara's assumption is that mezuzah, which comes immediately before that, so that is mikra nidrash lafanav. What about the mitzvah of bittul Torah, or the yisr of bittul Torah? That's two parshios before. So in other words, it's just a question of laman yirbu, whether you attach it to one or to two before. Okay, tomorrow we're not finished with the discussion, but we're out of time right now. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. More discussion about this topic. It's obviously a very depressing topic. And tomorrow, please stay tuned. The great Gemara is coming up tomorrow. Popular Gemara is coming up tomorrow.